In his presence there is fullness of joy. I was reminded of the time when Jacob was running from his brother Esau and, of course, had his dream. And when he awakened, he said, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And I don't want to be that way, and I'm sure you feel the same, but I'm glad that we can, if I could say it this way, with really very little effort, we can just reach out in faith. I'm going to invite everyone to stand, if you would, for just a moment. And would you do that? Just reach out in faith and let yourself be enveloped by this presence of the Lord that's in this house. There is healing in it. There's power in it. There's joy in it. And would you just avail yourself of his presence? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence that floods this place. And we, through our faith, touch you now. And I know that you respond with your healing, with your power, with your joy, with peace, and all the things that we need. You know our hearts. You know us even better than we know ourselves and what we need. And I ask, Lord, that in your presence, as we offer our worship and praise and adoration, that you would minister and move throughout the course of this time together. Thank you for what you've already done in the precious name of Jesus Christ for your glory. And everyone said amen. Amen. You can be seated. As noted, we're going to fill in for our missionary tonight. I told Christy in the office today I have chaperoned several Youth Corps missions trips over the years, and I told her I guess I could have brought out some of my slides or pictures to show you all, make it feel like a mission service, but somehow that didn't seem like a good idea. But nonetheless, it is a joy to be able to bring to you a message, and I have decided to just go with the season on short notice here and talk a little bit about the time of year that we are celebrating. I did want to pause, since I didn't do it earlier, and welcome all of those that are online watching. We know some of our members still need to do that. And if I'm not mistaken, I received word that the Hoover girl, as I like to call her, Olivia Hoover, you may remember me mentioning she is, oh boy, I got to think, great-granddaughter of Stanley and Catherine Chambers. I met her years ago through Bible quizzing, years ago. It's like she's old. She's only a teenager, but Amber knows her quite well. But welcome to our service, and you can be taking notes there wherever you are, Olivia. That's Olivia with an A, by the way, Sister Gretchen, Olivia with an A. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, this is my verse of scripture to get us launched, and you can remain seated, of course. But this is what it says. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And the next verse, if you have it there, Eric, says that he had come to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so my title today, this message is going to be, What Time is Christmas? What time is Christmas? Scientists tell us that for those of us who live north of the equator, that the longest night of the year is December 21st. That's when we have the least amount of sunlight, the winter solstice. But I guess any kid growing up, if you were blessed at all to be in a home that celebrated Christmas, any kid knows that the longest night of the year is really 3 days later, December 24th, Christmas Eve, right? Seems like Christmas morning will never come when you are a little guy or a little gal. As Alvin and the Chipmunks sing, we can hardly stand the wait. Please, Christmas, don't be late. Anybody remember that? That was from my childhood. Can you remember, though, the wide-eyed wonder of Christmas and the anticipation of it as a kid? For some of us, we might have to brush out some of the cobwebs and think back, but certainly it's a thrilling part to see the children, and maybe you can even remember repeatedly asking your parents a few days out, is it Christmas yet, or is it time to open the presents, and probably driving them crazy with all those kinds of questions. But what time is Christmas? Well, frankly, we don't know the exact day that Christ was born. I know that's not a revelation to those of you that have been in the church for a number of years. We just don't know, and thankfully we have a day set aside, and I know there's an assault on it, seemingly, with the secular aspect of it all. And maybe one day, God forbid, maybe one day they'll decide to call it something else, but at least we have a day on the calendar where we're commemorating the coming of Jesus Christ. But we do know this, even though we don't know the date, God specifically chose a time, as we read there, when the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his son made of a woman. So there was a specific time in which God planned and fulfilled that plan to have the Son of God be born. Luke chapter 2 and verse 6 tells us that so it was while they were there, they meaning Mary and Joseph, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And of course, the angel to shepherds later in this chapter proclaimed that it was good tidings of great joy, for on this day was born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that defeats a little bit. Perhaps you've heard some people say that Jesus Christ has existed from eternity, but there is clearly in Scripture where he was born, a day when it all started. And as the angel proclaimed, it was on that specific day, whatever it was, that the Savior, Jesus Christ, came into the world. So the reality of Christmas, and again, I know I'm preaching to seasoned people, but just as a quick reminder or to say it for the record, the reality of Christmas is not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's not Santa Claus himself. It's not Frosty the Snowman. It's not Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, or is it Charlie Brown's Christmas or anybody else's Christmas for that matter? The reality of Christmas is this: Jesus Christ came to bring salvation for all mankind. That's the message, Christ's birth, and it represents hope for all humanity, men, women, all races, all ethnicities, all nationalities. No one is excluded from the glorious plan of salvation. His salvation, as the angels told us there in Luke 2, bring peace, and goodwill. And in view of all the joy and the hope and the peace and the goodwill that comes, Christmas is a time when we can renew our faith. I'm not suggesting that anyone is lagging in their faith tonight, but we can use this time of year to renew our faith, to get a little fresh perspective, or as it were, revive the wonder of our experience in God. Again, I'm not suggesting that any of us here have done that, but I don't think it hurts just to let this time be an opportunity for us to do that, just to have renewed faith, fresh perspective, and to be able to think about the wonder of knowing Jesus Christ. We just sang that song, In the Presence of the Lord. I wonder how many people wouldn't even know how to feel or react coming into the presence of the Lord, never having experienced it. And here we are again and again and again in our daily lives, and certainly when we gather, knowing that what it feels like, and we need to recognize that it is so special to us and not take that lightly. And so what time is Christmas? Let's consider a few things that it can be time for. And one is to renew our faith in God and to renew our faith in his word. In this day of increased knowledge, and it certainly is proliferating, scientific discovery, advances in medicine, all of these kinds of things, if you put all that as a backdrop, the voice of faith can sound kind of feeble in the face of all that's going on with medicine and science and knowledge explosion, with so much emphasis on the theory of evolution. It might, in some quarters, feel a little bit feeble to say, I believe in a creator. Maybe you've even had someone scoff at you when you've confessed that belief. It may seem a little feeble to say, I believe in the Bible. That this is not just a history book or literature from the past, but this is God's word to us. Now, to have that faith, you've bumped into it, I'm sure not everybody accepts this as God's word. Not everybody accepts it as the authority that we do. To say that I believe Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. Now that really draws a line of demarcation, and it even kind of upsets some people, but that's what the scripture says. And when you declare your faith in that, that can sound kind of feeble in the world in which we're living. In a day of test tube babies and biogenetics, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ may sound like a page out of Grimm's fairy tales or something like that, again, because of science. The resurrection of Jesus, when you read about it and talk about it, it may sound to some like something that's science fiction or even a Hollywood movie script. You know, a guy coming back from the dead, that just defies all logic and defies everything we know about our human existence. The battle, of course, though, of science and faith has been raging for a long time, and anything that must be accepted by faith, and that is our experience, without faith it's impossible to please God, right? Our whole experience and relationship with God is based on faith. So anything that must be accepted by faith is subject to ridicule by the scientific mind or the secular mind. Belief based on God and His Word by some might be dismissed as weakness. Weakness emotionally, perhaps primarily. But even in the so-called church world, and that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but you know what I mean, in the denominational world, the churches of all various denominations, even in the so-called church world, the voice of faith can seem frail. George Barna is a man who has done a lot of research, and I haven't kept up with him lately, but I know in the past he's done a lot of it. And he has, through surveys and other means, concluded that there are Christians, and of course that name Christian means follower of Christ, there are Christians that don't believe that the Bible is totally accurate in all of its teachings. There are people who claim to be a follower of Christ but don't accept this entire book. They may say portions of it talk to us from God, but not all of it. And there are some, Mr. Barna has learned, that some don't even believe that Jesus lived a sinless life or that he literally returned from the dead. That they don't accept the resurrection of Jesus Christ as being a reality. So that just goes to show you that even in the so-called church world, when you stand your ground and express your faith, you could still sound perhaps a little feeble or frail. So in a world of doubt and scorn, it is possible. With all of this said, it's possible. Again, I'm not suggesting any of you are doing this, but I think we need to be aware of it and be on our guard. It's possible for us to become a bit intimidated with respect to our faith. It's possible that we might become a little tentative, questioning, maybe reticent about expressing our faith because we know it's going to stir people up or cause some kind of negative reaction. And I simply say that to say we need to be on our guard and recognize that's the kind of environment we're in, the world we're in, and that doesn't mean we should let down, but if anything, steel ourselves and be ready to proclaim our faith staunchly and even all the more. So Christmas certainly is a time to renew our faith in God, renew our faith in the one who created us all and who is the Lord of all in our lives. At Christmas, you can also renew your faith in His Word. Psalms 119, verse 18 says this. It's a bit of a prayer. I love this particular verse. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And obviously, in the Old Testament, the word law was representative of God's Word. And so today, we would think of that as the Bible, but it's asking, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things from your law. And certainly, a Christian does need to study the manual, right? For a follower of Christ, we need to know what this book says to us. And so studying it and having an open mind and an open heart is very, very important. And I might just insert, I hate to use the word commercial, but it's a sincere thing, slip this in, that for those of you that don't have another Bible reading plan, and I realize there are many of them on apps and websites and everything else, and even other one-year Bible, that kind of thing, but we do have these bread charts, Bible reading enriches any day. They're there in the lobby. If you'd like to pick one up and have it ready to go for the new year, 2021, you're certainly welcome to do that. But whatever plan you use, getting into God's Word, that's the outlook and attitude. And this time of year can provide you a chance just to have a freshness in your outlook toward God's Word and even pray this. There would be nothing wrong with you praying that before you go to read a portion of Scripture. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things from your Word. Anybody agree that there are wonderful things in here? God's Word is wondrous, and we can, of course, read it by rote and just kind of get through it so we can, you know, check off the box on the chart, whatever. But when you read it as the Word of God to your heart, to your life, and have an openness toward it, it can be changing, life-changing for you. And so as you read, let your eyes see the wondrous things about God, wondrous things about your relationship with Him, and certainly our purpose in Him. So at Christmas, we can renew our faith in God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and also that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that man is not the author of this book, but God is. We know that it was about a 1,600-year time span it took to put all this together and for God to speak to various individuals and for them to write it down. And we know there were some 40 different authors. But if anything, that just kind of goes to show you that it's all one author, because all of that's in agreement and not contradicting. And so renewing your faith that this is the book, all Scripture, given by inspiration of God, it's forever settled in heaven. And as Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so Christmas certainly is a time to renew our faith in God and in his word. I hope you get lots of presents. I hope you get a lot of nice meals. Hope you get a lot of good family time to the extent we can have it here in the COVID land. But above all, I hope that you can use this time of year to renew your faith and your wonder in God and his word. Also, Christmas is a time to renew your faith in God's love itself. Remember the reason for Christ's coming? Anybody know John 3:16? I don't have this on the screen. It's a familiar one. If you don't know the word for word, you probably know the essence of it. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the reason for Christ coming. He loves us. He loves us. And God so loved you, that's how you've got to take this very personally. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. His love prompted that or brought it to being. And it was out of love that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the manner that he was, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And it was in love that God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. God, this is in Corinthians, and again, I don't have this verse, but God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, the Apostle Paul wrote. And so that was all done out of love for us. He brought salvation because he didn't want us to be lost. Did not want us to pay the penalty of sin, which is death. And then beyond the birth of Christ itself, there is other evidence of God's love. John 15:9, and I do have this verse. Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. So there you have it, point blank. And I know he was speaking to his disciples in that context, but it's by extension all of his followers. He's saying it point blank or directly, I have loved you. Abide in my love. So if nothing else, you've got that verse alone to assure you that God loves you. God loves you. He says it, and how many have come to realize that what God says he means? He doesn't just speak idly. Jeremiah 31:3 tells us that God loves us with an everlasting love. An everlasting love, and so it's not going away. And as indications of that everlasting love, just think of a few things, and I'm not going to pull out the chapter and verse for these points, but they can be supported by Scripture. Think of these few things that indicate his love. You're never out of his sight. For some people, that might scare them and think, uh-oh, right? But a child of God is encouraged by that. You're never out of his sight. Even while you're sleeping, God's not. He's watching over you. He knows your path in life. Sometimes we feel so alone and out of it and like we don't know what's going on. But God knows your path in life. As it says in Job, he's acquainted with all of your ways. In Psalm 139, if you don't have time tonight, maybe in the near future, you might read through that psalm. It's a little lengthier one. But it talks about how intimately God knows you and is aware of you as an individual. Psalm 139, he's acquainted with all of your ways. Other verses tell us that he cares about every detail of your life. Every detail of your life. And maybe some of us have been guilty of thinking, well, I won't bother God with that. It's so minor and insignificant. But he cares about each detail of your life. We know this. He knows the number of hairs on our head, right? Or lack thereof in some cases. And I think he's the count's going down for me, but God hasn't decided to perform a miracle and give me a full head of hair. So nonetheless, he knows. He knows that detail about me. And he's lovingly patient with us. Aren't you thankful for that? Lovingly patient with you. And I hope these descriptions of his love are helping you to just get a fresh appreciation in your spirit for his love. He's gracious, full of compassion, And here's a good one. In fact, it's been kind of a hot topic verse, if I could put it that way, in the last few years, Jeremiah 29:11. He has good plans for your life, and here it is. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. It's kind of humbling to realize that, but God's thinking about us. As if he doesn't have better things to do, right? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. So God's on your side, in your corner, wants good things for you, to give you a future and a hope. And that, of course, could be taken strictly for the life everlasting, but I believe it also applies to our life here. He has a future, a hope for us, ways in which we can serve him and be beneficial to the kingdom of God. And so, clearly, God loves us, and it's evidenced, and you can find chapter and verse to support those various indications of his love. But the greatest expression of his love, and we can't forget this, is seen on his sacrifice on Calvary, right? He went there on our behalf. And Romans 5:8 tells us this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He had a plan prepared, he executed it, and it was all out of love. God demonstrated. The King James Version says commendeth, you might be more familiar with that, but demonstrates is the word here, and it's meaning the same thing. He shows his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in John 15:13, this verse tells us that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down one's life for his friends. I think I was mixing New King James and King James there. I've got the King James memorized. But you see it there. The point is, that's the greatest demonstration of love, that you would lay down your life for someone. And just think of that for a moment. That's the greatest way you could express your love to anyone. If you give up your life for someone else, there's no greater indication of your care and love for that person in a given situation. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. And he demonstrated that by going to the cross in our place. And we have to realize this is a time of year when we can renew our faith in his love and know that he would have demonstrated that love. And I heard someone say this years ago, and I've held on to it, and I believe it. He would have done what he did out of love to provide salvation if you were the only person who needed salvation. You've got to look at it that way. And I know in 7 billion population in the world, it's kind of easy to get swallowed up in all that and think, where do I fit in? But if you could just bring it down personally, if you were the only individual that needed salvation, his love for you is such that he would have still made the way for you to be saved, in effect, gone to the cross on your behalf. So you've got to take it personally. And I tell you, just kind of letting that settle in your spirit, if that doesn't start renewing an appreciation, I don't know what will, to realize that he loves us that much, that he did that for us, and he did it for us as individuals. So what a perfect time of year to renew our faith in God's love. It's everlasting. You can count on it. It's not going anywhere. It's overflowing. And certainly, it's unconditional. That doesn't mean there isn't punishment. That doesn't mean there isn't correction. But his love for us is unconditional. And I'm so thankful that we can experience it. And then Christmas is also a time to renew your faith in God's miraculous power. Anybody believe he can still perform miracles? Christmas is a time to renew our faith in that. When Mary asked Gabriel how she as a virgin could possibly bear a son, because that's the announcement he just gave her, you're going to bear a son. How could this possibly happen was her question. Here was the answer. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That is how the birth came about. It was through the miraculous power of God. So Jesus entered this world by means of a miraculous birth. It was supernatural. It wasn't anything known to human. And that same spirit that moved upon the face of the waters. I think it's Genesis 1:1 that tells us that happened. The same spirit that moved upon the face of the waters of the deep in the beginning of time and said, let there be light, and there was, that same power is what moved upon the Virgin Mary, and she conceived in her womb miraculously. And that's how she was able to bring forth this son whom we know as Jesus. And everything about him is miraculous, from his birth all the way to his ascension. Everything about Christ is miraculous, and it's a time for us here at Christmas that we've set apart to commemorate his coming, to look to Jesus for fresh faith in the miraculous. We can let our hearts and minds be open. It's human to doubt. That's just part of it. And like Mary, we might be wondering, how shall this be? You're facing impossibilities, facing things that you can't of your own accord change, and you might be asking, as she did, how shall this be? But the answer to her is the answer to us by the power of God, for he can do the impossible. In the Old Testament, when God told Abram and Sarah that they were going to have a son through whom the families of the earth would be blessed, and certainly the nation of Israel would be created, in Genesis there, when God told Abram and Sarah this, you may remember the portion of Scripture, it says that Sarah laughed when she was told that she was going to have a child. And of course, it was because of her age. And I will say this, I believe she was laughing at the idea that she at her age could have a child, not laughing at God himself for him having said it, but just the concept. It was contrary to everything she knew about humanity. And to think that she would have a son, it was laughable. But here's what I like. God sobered it up pretty quick, didn't he? With this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Imagine yourself being told by God something miraculous is going to happen, and you kind of laugh about it, and he says, just a moment here. Is anything too hard for me? I think that would probably get the smile off our face pretty quick. Oh, yeah, you're right, Lord. You're right. You can do anything. And that was, of course, the fact. So have faith tonight. Nothing is impossible with God. I think I said this recently. That doesn't guarantee that he's always going to do the impossible, but nothing is impossible with him. He can do the impossible. And the same power that overshadowed Mary is available in Jesus' name in the 21st century, because God has not changed. We need to renew our faith in the supernatural power of God, and certainly in his miraculous power. And I didn't get to check with Adam prior to service, but just in the first Wednesday of November, he recounted the miracle that his wife experienced. It was July of 2016. Does that sound right? Close enough. And she was in a service, and he could tell it in great detail as he did that Wednesday night. But suffice it to say, she had a physical ailment, and in a service right here in this sanctuary, through the preaching of the word and the operation of faith and others joining with her, she was miraculously healed. What doctors couldn't do and nothing else could change, God changed right here in our midst. And then along with that, God sent somebody to lay a hand in the very place where she was having some back trouble, and God healed that all at once. And so this isn't something, you know, from the first century, but this is just in the last few years here at this church. So renew your faith that God can do the impossible. Renew your faith that he can do those things that we consider impossible or miracles. And so we can renew our faith in that. I was thinking earlier, Allison Trask, Gretchen's middle child, she was doing a Bible club at school, and Ashley Zernick, who is in the youth service tonight, came, I think, from Florida, moved up here, and God spoke to her in prayer three letters, APC. And to me, this was kind of reminiscent of when the Apostle Peter was praying on the rooftop, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, three men seek you. And, of course, as the story went on, they were sent from Cornelius, and he ended up going there and preaching the gospel and all that. But it was a word of knowledge in this case, the acting of the gifts of the Spirit. And these letters were spoken to Ashley. And then one day it was announced that Allison was going to have the Bible club, and Ashley Zernick went and talked to her and said, where do you go to church? And without thinking to explain it fully, Allison said, APC. And those are the exact letters that God spoke to Ashley's spirit. It was all indication, a sign leading her here, and the rest is history. She's a student at Urshan College now and pursuing ministry in the church, and what a thrill to see. And that it's much like what the angel did with, or what happened in the vision, I should say, with the Apostle Peter on the rooftop, three men seeking you and getting him connected with Cornelius, and they ended up being in the church. And so what a thrill to know God's still doing those kinds of things. He's still doing those kinds of things. And then just a few years ago, I was reminded of this. December of 2017, so 3 years ago, Rhonda Burke, she is the wife of Brother Mark Burke, who pastors in Bethalto, Illinois. He also works with HVAC and comes and services our units here at various times. And she was in prayer, Rhonda Burke, and God spoke specifically with a word of knowledge to her about Marvin Walker. And some of you know him. He was a long-term quiz master and pastors up in Troy, Michigan. He's preached here before. And she had only met him one time. But in prayer, God spoke to her about him. And so she, with her husband's assistance, called and left this message with Brother Walker. And I jotted it down, having been told the story. Said, "Do not ignore your heart. Get urgent help, specifically on the left side." You know, imagine getting a message like that. And what, of course, no one knew, Brother Walker had been having some discomfort but hadn't told anybody. He was just, I know him quite well, and that's just like him. He's kind of stubborn, good old German man. But he just doesn't like to share things with people. But the next day, they admitted him in for test, and a heart catheterization showed that the main artery, ready for it, on the left side was 80% blocked. And thankfully, a stent did the job. But the doctor said if he had ignored that and gone on a scheduled trip, that it would have been fatal. So here, this is clearly the gift of the Spirit in operation, a word of knowledge given to someone here in the Midwest for someone that she hardly even knew of but didn't know well. And God used her to bring about this knowledge to Brother Walker so that he could get help. So renew your faith in God's miracle working power, whether it's a miraculous healing or whether it's a word of knowledge or wisdom or any other of the gifts of the Spirit that would operate. Renew your faith that God is still doing things like that in the 21st century. The gifts of the Spirit are not human but divine, not natural but supernatural, not ordinary but extraordinary. And so we need to renew our faith in the truth that nothing is too hard for the Lord, and all things are possible with him. In Acts 3, there is the story of the lame man at the gate, beautiful, and Simon Peter and John came along, and he wanted money from them. They didn't have it, and you know that story. I think most of you, that he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And after that happened, it was a notable miracle, and people started crediting Simon Peter and John with being gods, as it were. And, of course, Simon Peter had to challenge that. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, here's how he explained what had happened. He said, "And his name," meaning the name of Jesus, "through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And may I just remind you, as the church, God has not changed. He's still full of power, and in his name, through faith in his name, provision can be brought to you. Some of you are facing difficult times here with all that we've been going on job-wise and etc., but his name, through faith in his name, provision can come your way. How it comes, we may not know, but it can come. And his name, through faith in his name, restoration, recovery of spirit, emotions, wounds can all be brought about. His name, through faith in his name, can carry deliverance to those who are captive to guilt and condemnation. In other words, the salvation message of Jesus Christ can come and set people free, liberate them in the name of Jesus. His name, through faith in his name, healing can come of ailing bodies or wounded spirits, for that matter. It's all possible through the name of Jesus. And his name, through faith in his name, you can, these are the words of Jesus, "ask anything in my name, and I will do it." Those are the words of Jesus Christ, and it's still possible. And I hope that something is stirring in your spirit tonight to recognize that, yes, that's true. Maybe my faith has waned in given circumstances or certain situations, but my God can do anything. My God can do the impossible. I hope that something moves in your spirit tonight, and maybe you'll go to bed with that thought rolling in your mind. My God can do anything. Nothing's too hard for him, and he can do the impossible. In closing, I know that this season that I'm saying is a time for renewing is not always the most joyous for everyone, and there are a variety of reasons for that. Sometimes we've lost loved ones this time of year. Sometimes we're in financial straits, illness, any number of things could kind of rob us of the joy that is so much emphasized at this season. But I pray that this isn't too simplistic of a statement for you if you're in that kind of a setting tonight, but let fresh faith wash over you. Let fresh faith wash over you. God's real. God's loving and God's powerful, and he knows the details of your life and is ready and willing to help you. And so tonight I want us to conclude with just a little season of prayer. If you would have your heart open to a renewing of your faith in God and his love and his miraculous power, would you be willing right where you're seated just to lift a hand if that's your heart's desire? And let's just pray and ask God to wash over us with that freshness tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you sincerely for your great love for us. It's what has brought about salvation and certainly your miraculous power. We believe in you. We believe in your word, and what has been proclaimed tonight has come from your word to us. And so let a fresh faith well up in our spirits. I pray this night that you, O God, are on the throne, able and willing, ready to help us and to do your bidding and to do your will in these last days. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And help us during this season to have a freshness about our experience with you and a fresh perspective of who you are, what you mean to us, and what certainly you are able and willing to do in our lives. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. And if I might add, if you've got a prayer request that maybe is up on the shelf because it's been there so long, why don't you dust that off in the next days and weeks as we wrap up this year, and with fresh faith, ask again. With fresh faith, ask again. Christmas is a time for a lot of things, but it is especially a time to renew our faith in God, our faith in his word, and certainly his love for us and his miracle working power. And I don't know how significant it is, but someone has noted that the book of Acts does not have an amen at the end of it, as so many other books do. And if that means anything, maybe it just means that all of that's supposed to continue, century after century, right on into the 21st century as well. And so let's have our faith in God. If you don't mind standing with me, I'm going to invite you to bring before him any requests that might be on your heart. I did get one request that, or correction, I should say, that Aretha Davidson's brother did pass away, if I caught that right. I was reading it hastily there in my text. And so I hope that I've got my information correct. But anything on your heart, and if there's some request, I'll say it again, that maybe you've just kind of put on the back shelf thinking, I've prayed about that so long and nothing's changing. Would you be willing to pray again that God would intervene and show himself real in these matters? Let's pray together. Anything on your heart tonight and trust in him. Jesus, we're believing in you, asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would touch each individual here. You do know everyone by name. You know everything that they're facing, the circumstances of their lives, and whatever might be going on. I pray that fresh faith would rise up in every heart tonight, and those requests that maybe have gone a little bit dormant and we've not been asking as fervently or as often, I pray, Lord, that with fresh faith we can look to you and see that you do have the answer. You do have the solution. Even if it's in certain times telling us to wait and to keep trusting, that still is an answer from you, and we can hold on through our faith in you, the living God. And so let fresh faith roll over our spirits. I pray in the name of the Lord, and hear us as we bring petitions, whether things are being brought tonight or the next days and weeks. I know that you do hear and answer prayer, and I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would do these things for your glory. And everyone said amen. Would you offer a hand clap of thanksgiving now? I think, like to think of it that way. Praise God. And so let this time of year be a time of renewing your faith in him, his word, his love, and certainly his miraculous power. You can be seated. I'll do just a couple of quick things here and then have you on your way. I did want to mention, though, just in renewing your faith, it is important that each of us accept responsibility for that. And some of the ways that I think you could do it to help renew and regenerate is, one, look back on your blessings, look back to answered prayers in your life, things that God has done. And then also, this is encouraging. Look around at your brothers and sisters and see what things he's doing in their lives. And, of course, recognize that what he's done for others, he can do for you. And then also looking up toward God and just getting a fresh appreciation, awe of his majesty, his glory. And that might take a little season of prayer, but just looking up to him and recognizing how powerful he is. Those things, if you'll take accept responsibility to do those things, I think they can help you on your pathway to renewing your faith in God and his word and his love and his miraculous power. Glad we can look back and see blessings, aren't you? I'm glad we can know what he's done in each other's lives in certain instances, and certainly we can look to him for his glory. And so may God bless you through this Christmas season and help you with that fresh perspective on who he is.